Now, if you have been in the accident and emergency department of either UHK or University Hospital Cork, CUH, then get in touch with us in the program. What has it been like? Have you been waiting for a bed in hospital? Have you been stuck on a trolley in hospital? That's the question we're asking you this morning, because the HSE have come out with a plan and a public awareness campaign that they launched yesterday. And this public awareness campaign is aimed at trying to help get beds in hospitals for people that need them and reduce the number of people who are turning up at the front doors of UHK wanting help. And there's some fairly hard-hitting language in the statement in relation to what they're saying. This plan is called Caring for Kerry, I should say, and that's essentially what they're saying. The HSE South West appeals to the people of Kerry to support the healthcare teams in the county. The public are advised they can assist HSE frontline staff in caring for Kerry by doing really three things. Number one, knowing all your healthcare options and emergency department alternatives. Number two, being aware that overstaying at UHK causes overcrowding at UHK. So if you stay too long, you're part of the problem. And number three, keeping yourself well at home. Under those three teams, the campaign will support the people of Kerry to, number one, be aware of all their care options and choose the pathway which meets their needs, as opposed to unnecessarily presenting a UHK emergency department. Number two, to understand that admittance to UHK is always and should always be for the shortest time possible, and that planning for discharge should be underway as soon as a patient is admitted. And number three, taking care of their health and well-being at home in the short, medium and long term. And there's a quote here from the manager, the HSE manager to Kerry, Julie O'Neill, the Caring for Kerry manager. Healthcare services in Kerry are always busy, particularly during the winter. We know that wait times in emergency department UHK are longer than anyone wants. We're working hard to improve this, and we need the people of Kerry to help our Southwest frontline healthcare teams to get this done. Firstly, we would ask people to think about how to use the emergency department and how they use the emergency department in UHK appropriately. The emergency department is for critical emergencies only. We're very proud of the service, but there are many other options for care. It's important everyone chooses the right one. Over the coming months, we will be showcasing services such as SouthDoc or HSE Southwest Injury Units and our Mental Health Assessment Hub, to name but a few. All of these options can offer people the right care more appropriately than the emergency department. Well, with me on the line, we had asked someone from the HSE to come on the programme, not available this morning. Hopefully we'll get to them sooner rather than later in relation to the language being used, I suppose, and what this drive is designed to do. But with me on the line to talk with us in more detail is a Sinn Féin councillor in the Tralee area, and that is Deirdre Ferris. Councillor Deirdre Ferris, good morning to you and thanks for joining me on the programme. What's your reaction, I suppose, to, I guess, what the HSE is trying to achieve here?
Hiya, Gerry. Thanks for having me on, and hello to all the listeners this morning. I suppose, Gerry, for me, when I first read it, I actually barked out a laugh, because what I saw was blaming patients for the failures of a system. That's and the failures of a service. I think the language used in it, in particular in relation to the inpatient stays, is absolutely tone deaf to the reality that people are facing every single day. I understand the need for the awareness campaign, particularly in and around the pathways outside of the ED that could probably best suit your needs at the time. But overall, the language used in this, I think, was wholly insulting to the people who are in beds that actually have nowhere to go. You know, at the end of the day, we're blaming people for a lack of provision and forward planning for the ageing population that Kerry has. We know it's one of the highest ageing populations in this country. A lack of residential care beds, a lack of timely supports for people who are being discharged. And I just think that the language used in this, couldn't it be more insulting to the people and to the families who don't feel that the discharge is a safe discharge, for starters, and secondly, who have no supports to help that patient when they get home.
Okay, just on that, Deirdre, just on the families that feel that the discharge isn't the right idea, that's a bit of a grey area, isn't it? I mean, the families are not clinicians. The families aren't qualified. With the best will in the world, the hospital's trying to manage beds and trying to deal with crisis on several different levels. This is one aspect of it. But is what they're seeing an indication of maybe what they're seeing. That not all, certainly, but there are some people who, number one, shouldn't be there, shouldn't have gone in through the doors of the A&E, and number two, should not be staying in beds. There are alternatives, but maybe they're refusing to go. Is that what's going on here?
Well, first and foremost, you're not going to be admitted unless you need acute medical care. That's the reality, Gerry. If you were in a hospital bed, you're in there for a reason. There is healthcare professionals working in our hospitals are highly qualified and they will admit based on the needs of that patient. However, what I will say in relation to the patients in and phrases like overstaying, for me, implies it's optional. It's not. In a lot of cases, you have elderly people being discharged back, some people in their 80s and 90s, back to a spouse or a sibling who's also in their 80s or 90s, expected to care for that person because no care package has been put in place for them. That in itself is unsafe. To send an elderly person home on their own with no care package, or to an elderly spouse or sibling with no care package, no supports, no adaptations done to make that house safe for any kind of care in the home, that is not their fault. That is a failed system overall. And it's not that they're trying to overrule the medical practitioners within the hospital. The fact remains that acute medical care is required in the first instance if they are in a bed in the first place. And I think we have to
There are instances, because of the system we have and the problems that are there that are being trying to be fixed, there are instances that there are people who are in acute beds who don't need to be there. But they're there because they've arrived,
they've gone
through the system and they're in the beds because somewhere has to be found. And as a result, there's lots of people on trolleys and corridors, which politicians like yourself and others constantly berate the government and the HSE for.
Yeah, Gerry, because we have had no proper forward planning with increased numbers of residential or convalescence beds until modifications and supports can be put in place within the home. That's the reality of the situation, Gerry. And when you look at it and you look at the options that are available to people, in most cases, there is absolutely nothing available and they're being sent home to houses that are wholly ill-equipped and family members who are wholly ill-equipped to deal with somebody who requires significant care. And that therein lies the problem. And my problem here is with the language. We're essentially blaming these people who have no choice but to stay in that bed. They don't want to be there, Gerry. And I can tell you, as a healthcare worker...
What would you say, though, Deirdre? I understand the point you're making. You're saying the language sounds like they're blaming. Now, this is only one aspect. This is a public awareness campaign. There's obviously other things that are being done to try and solve the problems you're talking about there in terms of building community nursing units, trying to get more supports in the locality, trying to give pathways, maybe more diagnostics at primary care level. But there is a reality as well, though, when it comes to hospital. And there's a case that went through the court just recently in the last week where a woman was 725 days and refusing to leave hospital, and they had to go to the High Court to try and get her to leave. Now, it's a unique situation. One case doesn't describe the whole system, but it can be very difficult for a hospital, even if someone is fit and healthy clinically, to actually get the move if they don't want to leave.
Gerry, we have an option of 52 additional beds in the residential care service in this county, and they're not being utilised because the community nursing unit in Killarney has yet to be handed over to the HSE, despite over a year later our commitments have been given and they haven't been realised. We have a closed wing in Dingle Hospital, which has a capacity of an additional 22 beds. That's 52 beds of residential or interim convalescence care before they can go home and their care packages are in place. Therein lies the difficulty. When I'm talking about blaming people for a failed service, the HSE cannot blame patients who have no alternatives. The people I'm dealing with every day, and I'm speaking to the healthcare assistants on the ground or the home health care packages, the reality, they're meeting patients for the first time who have no mobility aids in the home. They have no care plan for this patient. They don't even have personal care supplies to care for this patient. And you're talking minutes of support within a day. That's all they're getting, 45 minutes in the morning. And if they're lucky enough to get afternoon or evening, 30 minutes. That is all that is available to these people. That's why these residential care beds are essential.
What would you say to the idea? I take the point you're saying there. What would you say to the idea? You're accusing the HSE of blaming the patients. What would you say to the other side of it? And someone who might suggest to you, Andrea, just playing devil's advocate, that the HSE have come out with this campaign and they're targeting specifically three different areas. Number one, keeping well at home. Number two, don't overstay, plan for your departure as best you can. And number three, do not turn up at the front door if you don't need to be there. Now, I'm just wondering why they would say that if they aren't seeing numbers and figures for people who perhaps are turning up as a wrong option, haven't gone to South Dock, haven't gone to primary care services, and are going there when there are alternatives? Is that not possibly what's happening here? Like, the HSC see the figures, they know case by case who's in there, what time they turned up, when they turned up, how long they waited, what they were there for. Maybe they're seeing something that, look, these people shouldn't even be here. There are options out there. Not in every case, admittedly. And we've heard from GPs before who have talked about the issue of, I've no other option but to send a patient to UHK because the services aren't there. But I'm just wondering at the rationale for it, to try and get that public awareness message out there. What would you say that's motivating what is saying? That they're not trying to be in place, they're trying to change behaviour.
I have no issue with the highlighting of the pathways for people before even contemplating the ED. I have no issue with highlighting the different services that are available outside of after hours of your GP service. That is not the issue. The issue is in relation to the language used in and around inpatient stays. The phrase overstaying, it was called bed blocking, they now changed it to overstaying. To me, that implies that it's optional. Yeah. In all the cases of people I'm dealing with, Jerry, and I'll give you one example. One woman in her 90s who lives alone was found by her neighbour after falling twice. She ended up in hospital for a period of time. She was lucky enough to get a residential care bed temporarily. She was being sent home, and her elderly sister, who lives on the other side of the town, was going to have to look after her. Woman also in her late 80s. They had nothing in place because they had to apply for modifications in the home with the adaptation grants. That takes time. When I contacted on her behalf with her present to speak to the management to see if it was possible to find out if there was an assessment carried out, what was required for her care, I was essentially laughed at over the phone and told, wouldn't that just be lovely? That is exactly the words that we used. Now, I raised that with the HSC at the time. I said it was wholly inappropriate. This woman, if she went home with no level access flooring, with no proper flooring in place that would have allowed her to live safely within her home. So the third part of that is difficult as well. The third part of that statement that was put out about living well at home, it can only be done when there's an awful lot of work done in the interim. And that whole statement comes out with, they're planning for discharge immediately. If they're planning for discharge immediately, why are people waiting weeks after a discharge for a care package to be put in place? Why are they going home to houses that doors are too narrow to fit mobility aids? Why are they going home to bathrooms they cannot use? That is not proper planning, and that is where respite, interim care and residential care is required. We have the resources there. We know we're a very wealthy country.
Do we have the resources there? Do we have the staff there,
Jerry,
to do all of this?
Staffing would not be a problem if the service wasn't as poor as it was. If you were to have the plans in place, you can't come out with a statement like this and blame people for the failures of the service itself. We're an exceptionally wealthy country. You saw the budget that went out recently. Well, how much of that has gone into our elderly and more vulnerable care? It hasn't, to my knowledge, and it hasn't, to my opinion, really, more especially, because I've seen people struggling.
If Sinn Féin were in power, if there was a Sinn Féin Minister for Health, would a statement like this go out? Do you think?
I would absolutely categorically say no. It was cruel, it was insulting, and it's blaming people for a failed service. Hold your hands up, we have a failed service. You should not be blaming the general public for it.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. That's Deirdre Ferris's view on it. Strong words for the HSE, accusing them of blaming people for what she's calling a failed service.